Masechet Tamid, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. We learned earlier on in the Masechet that the limbs of the animal that were being brought for the Korban Tamid were placed in the middle of the Kevesh, the ramp, before the Kohanim went to pray. Then they came back and they took those limbs and they brought them up to the top of the Hechal, and other Kohanim were working in the Hechal with the Menorah and with the Ketoret. And then the other Kohanim eventually brought them all to the top, these limbs, to be burned. When the Kohen Gadol, though, was there, he had the ability to choose to take part in the service himself if he wanted to. He wouldn't have to participate in any lottery in order to get that zechut. Here the Mishnah is going to talk about what would happen when the Kohen Gadol wanted to be involved. Mishnah says, Bizman she-Kohen Gadol rotze lahakir, when the Kohen Gadol wanted to burn the limbs of the Tamid by throwing them onto the fire himself, he would go up the ramp, and his assistant, the second in command, would go with him to the right and bring him up. When the Kohen Gadol reached the middle of the ramp, it was tough for him to walk up there, so the Segan Kohen Gadol, the second in command, would hold on to his right arm and help him up the rest of the way. When the Kohen won the right to carry the limbs up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach, they would bring the limbs and they would throw them onto the fire. But when the Kohen Gadol was there, they would bring him the limbs so he could throw them. Hoshit lo harishon, harosh v'haregel. The first Kohen bringing up the limbs would hand the head and the right back leg of the Tamid to the Kohen Gadol. V'samach alehem, and the Kohen Gadol would lean on them. They leaned on them by putting his hands upon the limbs of the sacrifice. The Kohanim normally wouldn't do. It's called semicha. They wouldn't lean on the animals in the Korban Tamid, but when the Kohen Gadol did it, they wanted to show that it was different, and therefore he would do something that was out of the norm, and he would lean on them. Uzrakan, and he would throw them onto the fire. He stood on the ramp, and he threw them onto the fire. They weren't placed on the fire, rather they were thrown. Hoshit hasheni, Larishon Shete Hayadayim, the second Kohen, then handed the two front legs of the Korban Tamid to the first Kohen, Notnan LaKohen Gadol. Then that first Kohen would give them to the Kohen Gadol. It was a greater honor for the Kohen Gadol to be served by that same one person over and over again, as opposed to many different Kohanim approaching him and bringing him the different limbs of the animal separately. Vesamach Alehem Uzrakan, he also then would lean on these parts of the animal and then throw them onto the fire. Nishmat hasheni v'halachlo. The second Kohen went away, he went back down the ramp, and a third Kohen would approach and hand him something, and so on and so forth. They would continue handing it to that first Kohen, who then handed it to the Kohen Gadol, and he would throw them onto the fire. V'kach hayu moshitin lo she'ar kol evarim. And that's what they would do with the rest of the limbs. They would hand them all to this Kohen, and then he would hand them to the Kohen Gadol. Behu somech alehen uzorkan, and he would lean on all of them, and then he would throw them onto the fire. Ubizman shehu rotzeh hu somech ve'aharim zorkim. And if the Kohen Gadol wanted to, he could decide that his involvement would simply be to lean on the limbs, and other people would throw them onto the fire. We don't mention it here in this Mishnah, but the flour and the Havitin loaves were also thrown onto the fire at this point in time. The only item that had to be offered after this was the Yayin. They would pour wine onto the Mizbeach. They would pour it into a silver bowl first, and that pouring had to be done at the southwest corner of the top of the Mizbeach. So here we'll talk about how the Kohen, who was standing at the top of the Kevesh, top of the ramp, how he got to the southwest corner. Balu lehakivet hamizbeach. The Kohen started to circle around the Mizbeach to get to that southwest corner. Mehechan hu matchil. Where does he start? Where does he begin? Does he turn to the left and go directly to that southwest corner, or does he turn to the right and go all the way around? Mikeren deromit mizrahit. He turns to the right and begins circling from the southeast corner, because there's a rule that at all turns we go to the right. Dekol pinot shata poneh. Lo yehu ela derech yamin. Anytime you take a turn, it should be to the right. And at that point, Mizrahit, Sefonit, Sefonit, Ma'aravit, Ma'aravit Deromit. From the southeast corner, he goes to the northeast corner, then to the northwest corner, then to the southwest corner. Natnulo Yain Lenasech. And when the Kohen Gadol reached that corner, they gave him the bottle of wine or the vessel of wine to pour onto the Mizbeach. He wouldn't walk around with the wine because then the smoke may have ruined the wine. So therefore, they handed it to him at that point in time. Now they prepare for the pouring of the wine. Hasegan Omed ala Keren. The assistant Kohen Gadol would stand on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Vasudarim biado. And there were flags in his hand that would be used to signal. Ushne Kohanim Omdim al Shulhana Halavim. And there were two Kohanim who would stand on the table of the fats, a marble table that was near the Mizbeach, and pieces of meat from the Korban that were going to be burned on the Mizbeach were first placed on this table. Ushte hasotzrot shel kesef biadam, and there were two silver trumpets in their hands. Tak'u v'heri'u v'tak'u. They sounded three different sounds. The tekiah, which was the long blast. The tiru'ah, the series of short blasts of the shofar. And then tekiah again, another long blast. With their trumpets in order to warn the Kohanim who were about to sing that the nisuch hayayin, the wine pouring, was about to happen. Ba'u ve'amdu etzel ben arza, ehad mi mino ve'ehad mi smolo. Then these people who were blowing the trumpets, these two Kohanim, they came down from that table and they stood near Ben Arza, who was the officer in charge of the symbol, like we'll explain. One stood to his right and one stood to his left. When the Nisuch HaYayin, the pouring of the wine, happened, it was done with the song of the Leviim. The Mishnah will now talk about how they made sure the song happened right when the Yayin was poured. Shahal Enasech, the Kohen Gadol, then bent down to pour the wine into the bowl. V'henif ha-segan basudarin. And then the segan, the deputy of the Kohen Gadol, he saw that the wine was going to be poured, and he waved those flags that he had. V'hekish ben arza basil sal. And when ben arza saw those flags, he hit the cymbal to make the noise. V'dibiru ha-levim bashir. And then when Levim heard the cymbal, they started to sing the special song for the day. Each weekday, each day had its own Shir Shel Yom, which we'll elaborate on more in the next Mishnah. Higiu la Perek, when the Leviim came to the end of the Perek, Tak'u v'ishtahavu ha'am. They paused, and the Kohanim had the tekiah, tiruah, tekiah sounds come out of the trumpets. They blew the trumpets, and the people who had gathered there in the Azara, they bowed down. They bowed down at that point. I'll call Perek Tekiah. At the end of every Perek, the Kohanim would blow the trumpets of Tekiah, Tiruah, Tekiah. I'll call Tekiah Ishtahavayah. And at the end of every blasting of the trumpets, the people bowed down. They had each song had three different Perakim. So altogether, the Kohanim would blow the trumpets 9 times for 3 sets of 3 sounds, because each time they blew it was 3 sounds, and the Kohanim and then the people there would then bow a total of 3 times. Zehu seder hatamid la'avodat bet Eloheinu. This, what we've been described this far in the Masechet, we have one more Mishnah left, is the order of the Tamid Korban that was brought for the service in Bet Eloheinu, the house of Hashem. And may it be the will of Hashem that the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt speedily in our days and our lifetime. Amen. Masechet Tamid, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Dalid, the last Mishnah in Masechet Tamid. We'll talk about all the different songs that Leviim sang during the Nisuch HaYayin, the pouring of the wine, onto the Mizbeach. The song that they sang every single day was from Tehillim, a different perek of Tehillim, and it was connected to the day of the week in terms of the creation of the world. 7 days of creation that Hashem created the world, every one of them with a different theme. Mishnah says, Hashir Shahayu Halvi'im Omrim BaMikdash, the song that the Levim would say or sing in the Mikdash every single day of the week. Bayom Hadishon Hayu Omrim La'Adonai Ha'aris Umlo'a Tevel Ve'yoshveva. On the Sunday, day 1 of the week, they would say the entire Perek of Tehillim, Perek Kaf Dalid, which spoke about Hashem is the earth and its fullness, the land and all those who live in it, which is telling us that the idea of the earth and its fullness. That talks about the first day of creation where Hashem created earth. He created the world. On the second day, Monday, they would say the Perek, which was Perek Mem Het, which is Hashem is great and a lot to praise in the city of Hashem on the mountain of His holiness. Second day of creation, Hashem separated the upper world, which represents the spiritual, where Hashem Kivyachol rests, and then the lower world, the physical world. So the same thing with this Perek. We speak about the city of Hashem. We say the city of Hashem, we call it Ir Eloheinu. Ir Eloheinu speaks about Yerushalayim. And also Har Kodesho. We mention the mountain of Hashem, which is talking about the Temple Mount, two places that were separated from the rest of the world because of the special holiness that they have. So that's similar to the separation between the higher worlds and the lower worlds. On the third day, Tuesday, they said the chapter that was Perek Pe Bet, which is Hashem stands in the assembly of the divine in the middle of Elohim Mishpot, in the midst of judges, He shall judge. Talks about that Hashem revealed the dry land on the third day of creation, and He established a spot where people could live, and a proper place people could live has judgment and laws and people to enforce those laws. So on the third day of creation, we mentioned that we say Bekerev Elohim Mishpot, in the midst of judges, Hashem will judge. But if hayu omrim El Nekamot Adonai, El Nekamot Hofia, on the fourth day, Wednesday, we say the Perek, that is Perek Sadi Dalid, Hashem, the God of vengeance. Hashem, the God of vengeance, appear. On the fourth day, Hashem created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And El Nekamot, the God of vengeance, is going to punish those people who worship the stars and the moon and all forms of Avodah Zarah. They have to only recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the One. So those planets and stars in the sky could become confusing for people. Bahamishi. Hayu omrim hadninu leluhim ozenu hari'u leluhi Yaakov. On Thursday, they would say the Perek, which was Perek Pe'alif, which was sing with joy to Hashem of our might, call out to the God of Yaakov. Fifth day of creation was Hashem created the birds and the fish. When a person sees all different types of animal life and nature, he's inspired to call out to Hashem and to sing to Him, Harin Leluhim Uzenu, to sing out to Hashem, Hariu Leluhi Yaakov, like we said, sing to the God of Yaakov. So all of the nature and the creations of Hashem with the animals will inspire us to connect to Him. Bashishi Hayu Omrim Adonai Malach Utlavesh. On the sixth day of Friday, they would say Perek Sadi Gimel, which is Hashem ruled, Hashem is clothed in the grand. The idea of the sixth day of creation is a completed world. Hashem is ruling over a world that's finished. And at that point in time, we recognize the Melech, the king. Adonai Malach, Hashem is the king over everything at that point in time. Bashabbat, hayu omri mizmor shir liyom Shabbat. On Shabbat, they would say the Perek of Tehillim, Perek Sadi Bet, that started off by saying a song for the day of Shabbat. The song here is titled for Shabbat. There's no references to Shabbat whatsoever in this song. And therefore, the Mishnah really is wondering, why do we sing this song? Why was it chosen in the Beit HaMikdash? Mizmor Shir La'atid Lavo. This is not a song for the day of Shabbat that we know, but a song of Shabbat for the future. La'atid Lavo, for the future era, which is talking about in the times of Mashiach, the times where the world won't exist like we know it anymore. Leyom Shekulo Shabbat, the day, or the era really, that is entirely Shabbat. Menuha Lehaye HaOlamim, a time of rest for Hashem provides life to everybody in a physical way and in a spiritual way. And the Beit HaMikdash and the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us get there. We hope that the Zechut, that we study this Mishnayot, we'll go up to the Kisei HaKavod, to the Shamayim, and have Hashem end the Galut, the exile that we're in, that we all go back to Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, B'mira B'yamenu, and we rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and we offer the Korbanot, B'mira B'yamenu. Amen. Hadran Alach Masechet Tamid.